Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4 in your Scofield Bible, page 1260, page 1260, beginning with the fourth verse. We'll read responsively through the ninth. The text verse is that fifth verse, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And let's pray. And Father, we pray for thy special help and blessing in our service this morning. Please give us minds that are alert. Please refresh in us in body and in spirit so that everything might be able to comprehend and might be united in comprehending the truth that thou dost have for us. So help us mentally, spiritually, physically, to be awake, to be alert, and to be open to thy truth. Bless, we pray with power, our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the only grace Christian has that he's supposed to advertise. The only grace that a Christian has that he's supposed to advertise. We're not supposed to go around bragging or advertising even our most of the graces of the Christian life. But our text this morning is a very obvious one. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. There is one grace that the Christian is supposed to possess that he advertises and lets everybody know that he has it. And that one grace is the grace of moderation. I think when I bring this message, you'll know why I bring it, because of the time of the year it is. And I feel with all my heart, if I could get every young person in this room to hear what I'm going to say, every one of our Hammond Baptist students, if I could persuade you to listen one sermon, I'd want you to hear this one. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. That's the only grace that we have that we're supposed to advertise. Father, bless the message this morning. With all of my heart, I want to help my dear people. And I believe this morning this truth, so simple that it reaches the circumference of profundity, I pray that it will grasp our hearts and grip our lives and our souls. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. This is the season of change. Little boys and girls entering school for the first time. School children who are already in school or have been in school in previous years have new classrooms and new teachers. Teachers receiving new students and new classes. Young people going from grade school to junior high school. And others going from junior high school to high school. Many getting married. Young men accepting new jobs. I believe I could say this without fear of being wrong. I suspect that two-thirds of the people in this room this morning are either yourself undergoing some change in your life right now, I'm talking about in this month, or someone in your family, your immediate family, is entering into a new era of his or their lives. Now, I'm saying that of all the seasons of the year, this is the one that brings the most change. Now, it is time, I think, that this truth be preached. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Now, that's a strange thing. Bible says here something we're supposed to let men know about. I don't think we ought to go around letting men know about our good qualities and so forth. Except here's one. The Bible says, let your moderation, are you listening? Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Now, that means everybody should know your moderation. Now, if everybody should know your moderation, we must search and find out what the word moderation means. Now, follow me very carefully. The word moderation means fitting into. Let me paraphrase it again, or define it. It means self-restraint. Let me put it a little clearer than that. It means staying within the banks and let the boundaries be made known. What God is saying here, you let everybody know the boundaries in which you're going to stay. Let everybody know. He's saying, send the message of your convictions to everybody. He's saying, let your new friends know where you stand. He's saying, young lady, you let the boys in your school know your boundaries. Let them know. Let the whole school know. Let everybody know how far you'll go. Or better still, how far you won't go. He's saying, young men, let your boundaries be known. Let it be known. One of the finest ways in the world to live right is to let your moderation be made known unto all men. Once you let people know what you believe and where you stand, you won't be tempted like others will be. There are certain things folks won't offer you. Do you know, in the Army, I was in the infantry and then in the paratroopers. And in those, and this was in the last days of World War II and the first days after it ended. You know that nobody, well, only one time did anybody offer me a drink, and that's when we won the, I was pitcher on the post team that won the softball championship, and they had a big party and tried to force liquor down my throat. But you know, apart from that, nobody ever offered me a bottle of whiskey all the time I was in the Army. Nobody offered me a drink. Nobody in my barracks ever came over to tell me a dirty joke. Not one person in my barracks ever came over. They'd be sitting there drinking. Not one person say, hey, Hiles, want a drink? You like to know why? Because I had a scripture up on the wall right behind my bunk. It said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. I mean, everywhere I went, there it was, up there on the wall. What was I doing? I was letting the moderation be made known to all men. That scripture said he doesn't drink. That scripture said he won't curse with you. That scripture said he won't go out tonight to the house of ill repute with you. What am I saying? I'm saying that one little scripture on that wall. I didn't have to walk up and say, fellas, I want you to know that I just don't drink. My brother O'Claire did that. But I didn't. I say, I want you to know that dear Lord Jesus would have me refrain from such obnoxious practices because I have been regenerated and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can you imagine how that'd sound if you never knew any Bible? Regenerated, your car's having trouble. Who wants to bathe in blood? I'm simply saying, I didn't put it that way. I put that one little sign up there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what God is saying. God is saying, so you're going to a new school. Let the school know your boundaries. God is saying, so, you got a new job. Let them know on the job what your boundaries are. He's saying, let your boundaries be made known unto all men.
He's saying, let your extremes be made known unto all men. He's saying, let the circumference of your convictions and your standards be made known unto all men. He's saying, you send the message loud and clear at the first. How you stand, what you stand for, what you'll do, what you won't do. Let them know right away. Let your friends know where you stand. By the way, it'll cut down on temptation. It'll cut down on temptation. You'll just let folks know where you stand. Let set your boundaries. Let your moderation be made known to all men. This is not this morning a heart-gripping sermon. It is a little practical sermon that I feel our church people need now. We're going to do job. Let the folks where you work know you stand. You say, should I walk up and tell them? No. Bow your head and say grace. Now have a Bible around where you read. You shouldn't go 8 hours without reading your Bible, which means you have to have one at work. I'm not saying take the family Bible and open it in front of all the people and show it. I'm saying you take a little testament or a Bible to work with you, and every once in a while during the day when you got a break or so, open a Bible and read it. You need to read it. But I'll hear something else too. It'll let your moderation be made known to everybody where you work. It's saying you're in high school now. Let the high school students know your moderation. Let them know your boundaries. You let the kids at the high school know you're not a rule breaker. You let the kids at the high school know you're not some suave punk. You let the kids at the high school know, young ladies, you let the young men at the high school know that they can't put their dirty hands on your body. I'm saying, Paul is saying, God is saying here, he's saying, when you first start out something, let everybody know your moderation and your boundaries. You folks have just come to Hiles Anderson College, let your moderation be made known. You let them let it be known that you're not one that stays just inside the rules. You let it be made known you're not the one that cheats on the activity report. You let it be made known that you're not the one that is careless about your behavior toward the opposite sex. Right here, the first week of school, let your moderation be made known to all men. Let it be made known. While you're in college, you come here. There are some students at Hiles Anderson College that barely stay inside the rules. You let them know you're not that kind. And they'll find out you're not that kind, and they'll leave you alone. Did you know there's some kind of a language, a body language, or an eye language, or something that rule breakers can see in each other? They can tell by the way you walk or something, but they migrate to each other. But they won't migrate to you. Everybody at college knows you don't break the rules. Paul is simply saying, there are many areas of the Christian life about which you should not advertise. Many areas of the Christian life that you should not go around broadcasting. But Paul said, you decide what you believe and the boundaries within which you're going to live, and let it be known to all men. Why? Because you won't be tempted. They won't come to you. Hey, do you know what? I never have been offered on an airplane. I've never been offered liquor when I had my Bible open. Never. Never do. If I see the liquor coming, just take the Bible open, start reading it. And one day a little stewardess came down and she said, sir, would you like to have a bloody... Don't think you would you? I said, no, I wouldn't, ma'am. Had a Bible open. We said, I just don't like to show off. No, you dirty coward, don't you talk like that to me. You yellow spine coward, don't you talk like that to me. I'm simply saying... You say, why show your Bible off? Because you're supposed to read it. That's why. If anybody's around, they'll see it. Paul is saying, by the way, God is so good. I was working on this sermon a few weeks ago. I was on an airplane flying from Norfolk, Virginia, back early in the morning, back to Chicago. I sat next to the window. Next to me was an empty seat, and next to the aisle was an empty seat, and a very attractive young lady walked up, and she sat there next in the aisle seat between her and me. And she must have been 25, or maybe younger than that. But she sat down there, and of course you can understand why, since I'm an attractive young man. But the seats are assigned, of course, and she sat there. But I noticed something different about her. I don't know what it was. She just had a sweet smile, I said, good morning, how are you? As I always do to the pretty girl. I mean, to everybody that sits beside me. And I said, good morning, how are you? And she said, fine, how are you? And she said, she had a little bag there. She said, do you mind if I put this bag in the empty seat between us? I said, oh, go right ahead, no problem. She opened her purse, got some gum out, and she said, would you like to have a piece of gum? Well, nobody's ever offered me gum. That's just not one of my convictions. And I said, no, thank you. Maybe she thought I needed it. I don't know. After that, she offered me banaka. I really felt a little bad about it. And I said no. I was working on this very sermon. And I was trying to establish in my mind exactly how to approach this sermon. We got to chatting, and I decided I was going to witness to her later on. I always like to get them, you know, let my personality, you know, let them see how charming I am first. We had just a few minutes, and then I went back to work, and she was reading. And then about that time, a young man saw her, and she was very attractive. He saw her. His empty seat right across the aisle. I was in the window here, empty seat. I was in the window, empty seat. She was here, and right across the aisle from her, empty seat. And the young man saw this attractive girl up there, and he came up and sat across from her. And he said, well, hello there. She said, how do you do? Now, she'd been nice to me, but she wasn't him. He said, where are you going? She said, same place you're going. I loved it, I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. He said, where you been? She said, same place you've been. We all got on the same place. We're getting off at the same place. And then, very beautifully, and I was shocked to death because I hardly ever see this on an airplane. I was shocked to death. She reached in her little bag over there between us, and she pulled out a Bible. And she just opened that Bible. And when that guy across the aisle saw that Bible, he said, bye-bye. What was she doing? She was letting her moderation be made known to all men. That's what he's talking about. That's what Paul is saying. Boy, and I was glad to see it, but the sweet thing about it was I was studying this sermon that morning and working on this sermon that morning, and God said, I'd like to have an illustration. And I said, it beats studying. And I mean there it is, boy, right there. I mean, pull an illustration. Little gal being flirted with and opens her Bible. After the guy going for greener pastures, I said, little lady, you must be a Christian. She said, oh yes. And I said, where do you live? And she told me. She said, I'm in the Navy. I said, you're a sailor? Well, I know some sailors as sissy as she is, but I said, out, you're a sailor? My fellas made me almost want to re-enlist myself. She said, yes. She said, my husband and I both are sailors. And I told her, she said, are you a Christian? I said, oh, yes. I said, when were you saved? And she told me. And I told her when I was saved. And we chatted a while about the Savior. And she said, I said, where do you go to church? We were just changing, moving one place to another now. And she said, do you know of any churches in a certain location? I told her. I told her about Hiles Anderson College. She begged me to send her information about it. When they get out of the service, they want to consider Hiles Anderson College. But you see, here's the good thing about it. That little lady loved God. And she didn't say to that fella, Buster, get lost. My mother used to give my sister advice. She'd say, Sister, Earlene, if a fella tries to flirt with you, tries to get fresh with you, take off your high-heeled shoe and hold it with a toe and beat the stuffings out of him. Fight him off. By the way, in case you're interested, my sister, she's too old to wear high-heeled shoes now, and it's no danger at all. She wears, at her age, she wears house shoes all the time. And they won't hurt you, so just try anything you want to try. But I'm sorry, Mama, I didn't mean it.
That's what the apostle is saying.
What? He's not saying walk up to the place and say, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I am a born again. He's not talking about that. She just very kindly opened her Bible. And then, of course, when it came time to serve her by it, she bowed her head and whispered a prayer. She was letting her moderation be made known unto all men. You have a new job. Take your Bible. Say grace. Be courteous. Be kind. Let them know your boundaries. You're a new class. You have a new teacher. You have a new class. Let your pupils know your boundaries, teacher. Let them know now what they can't get by with. Let your moderation be made known to all those pupils. New college student, get with the right crowd. You got a new boyfriend. A young lady in this room this morning told me that recently. She said, I had a date with one of the finest young men in this church. She's a college student. She said, he wanted to hold my hand. She said, Brother Hiles, I want to save that kind of stuff after I get married. And she said, Brother Hiles, what should I do? I said, let him know. Just let him know. I don't understand that. I didn't think you would, but she does. And thank God there are two or three here that understand it. I'm saying to that young lady, let it be made known now. You say, I may not get him. That's why you don't let him know what you are. You shouldn't get him under false pretense. Let your moderation be made known to your date. Let your moderation be made known to your school students. Let your moderation be made known to your employer. Let your moderation be made known to your fellow employees. Let your moderation be made known to your neighbors. Let your moderation be made known to all men, the apostle said. And right here, this is why I'm preaching this morning. Right here in the early days of this school year, when there are hundreds of young men have just come to Hiles Anderson College and you have your new jobs now, let your moderation be made known to all men. Young ladies that come to college are off from home for the first time, and they're young men that will try to steal your virtue and your decency and even your chastity. Let it be made known now. You're not the kissing kind. You're not the hugging kind. You're not the necking kind. You're not the loose kind. And by the way, not only will it cause the wrong crowd not to come your way, but it'll cause the right crowd to come your way. They'll see your moderation. He said, Brother, I'm the only one. No, you're not the only one. You just don't know anybody else because they're not letting their moderation be made known. If every decent kid at Hammond Baptist High School would let his moderation be made known to everybody in that school, I guarantee you it'd be a majority. The problem is you're afraid. Some of the so-called popular in kids that call you a square, you're afraid to let them know because you think you're in the majority. Let it be known how you stand. And there are dozens of others that stand just like you stand. Let your moderation be made known to all men. Illustration. I'm never told any gossip. I mean it. I don't mean seldom. I mean never. Never. You know why? Because my moderation concerning gossip is known to all men. Nobody ever says, Brother Howe, let me tell you something. You know why? Because I will not listen. And they know it. If you want to listen, go ahead. But that's my moderation. That's my boundary. I won't do it. I will not listen to gossip. Two and two's four. Sunrise over there in the east. That's over there in the west. God's in the heaven, and heaven God's on his throne. And white is white and black is black. And I will not listen to gossip. And by the way, the whole nation knows I won't. So because of that, I never have to say to somebody, don't you talk like that to me. Look, people know who will listen to them. They know. They know if you'll sit down and hear what they have to say. They know. Let your moderation, let your boundaries be made known to all men. All you've got to do is let everybody know that you don't listen to gossip, and nobody's going to tell you any gossip. You know, illustration. I do not think over twice a year anybody ever asks me to eat out after church. You know why? Because the whole nation knows I don't eat out after church. I'm letting you know right now. My tapes go all across America and around the world today. This sermon's going all around the world. You guys are going to have me preach in your church. You hear me now. They never say, Brother Hodge, you want to go out and eat after church? You know why? I don't go out and eat after church. Then maybe one or two times a year when some preacher needs to talk to me about something, has a problem, and I may do it. But nobody ever asked me. You know why? Because my boundaries are made known to all men. My moderation is made known to all men. Illustration. I rarely ever am told any bad truth. I'm talking about truth about people that's bad. I don't want to know it. Rarely ever does anybody ever say, Brother House, did you hear about so-and-so that did thus and so? Now, even if he did thus and so, I don't listen to it. I say I don't. It's made known all over the nation that I don't. The other day, it's been a few months ago now, I was down in the southwest part of the country. And I was being driven to the airport in the morning, on a Wednesday morning, by a godly man. No, it was maybe on a Saturday morning. Anyway, I was a good preacher and a friend of mine. We're driving to the airport. And he said, I'm going to use the name Joe Jones. This is a fictitious name. I should use the name D. Walla Malafit or something like that. But because only one of those. But he said, could you believe that Joe Jones did what he did? And before I knew it, I said, I don't know what he did. He said, well, it's true. So-and-so, certain Joe Jones did so-and-so. He said, do you want to know? Now, right there, my moderation had been made known. And I said, that's up to you. Oh, my soul, that's not like me at all. And he was asking me to pray for this guy. And before I knew it, I had listened to a few minutes of it. And I wish I'd never had it. And I felt bad for days and days. Because folks don't tell me stuff like that. And this guy was the friend of this fellow. And I said, I don't believe it happened. Told him, I don't believe it happened. But he said, I saw it. I said, I don't believe you saw it. Not I didn't see it. If I didn't see it, it didn't happen. But, illustration. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. Daniel didn't, when they put him down at the table, and they put all the king's food there, I'm talking about Big Macs and cheese quarter pounders and french fries and all the rest of the king's meat. That's the heavenly king's meat. But Daniel said they passed Daniel the wine, and Daniel didn't say, should I drink this or not? Oh, no. Daniel purposed in his heart, way back yonder, he wouldn't touch wine. It's all settled. Somebody said, Brother House, you think you ought to give these invitations at these nationwide youth conferences telling young people to ask young folks to promise they'll never take a drink as long as they live? Brother, if they do nothing but walk down this aisle to that invitation and stand here in front of the people, and at least 6,000 people in this world know their moderation, somebody is going to stick by it. And I'll tell you something else, too. You'll come less than you're doing wrong if you yourself decide you won't do wrong. Daniel didn't say, should I drink it? He didn't say, no, I won't. No, I won't. Why? He had no decision to make. Daniel purposed in his heart a long time ago, I'll not eat the king's meat. I'll not drink the king's meat. Listen. America needs a generation of people who have some boundaries. And fundamentalism needs, and fundamental young people need, once again, to have some yeses and nos and boundaries and say, these are my convictions. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For I have been born again. I'm a child of God. My name is written in heaven. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't drink. I don't curse. I'm not immoral. I'm not loose with the opposite sex. You sailors, let your moderation be made known to all men. Go back up there and put a scripture on the wall. I dare you to have the guts to do it. Put a scripture on the wall. Young people in high school, carry a Bible to all the classes. Years ago, you've heard me say this many times, I made five decisions as a kid preacher.
I purposed in my heart five things. It's all decided. Number one, money will never be an issue in my ministry. Never will be. Number two, I decided 40 years ago nearly, nobody ever meddled with my preaching. Nobody. I first came here, a deacon or two came to me and said, "We're upset about your preaching." They don't make the deacon that'll mess with my preaching. Or layman either. I tell preachers across the country, most of you preachers got to clear with your deacon board or the kitchen at home before you preach. Promise God, nobody will ever meddle with my preaching. Number three. I promised God I'd make my decisions on the basis of what's right and what's wrong and not on the basis of expediency. Number four, I promised God that I'd be loyal to principles and not to institutions. Number five, I promised God I'd be a friend to my friends. Now I purposed my heart nearly 40 years ago. I purposed in my heart, and I've let this, I've told that all across the country. Why? I want my moderation. I want my boundaries to be made known. I want everybody here to know it. Stay out of my preaching. My pulpit. You can have the pews, but this is my pulpit. Money's no issue. Let it be known. To all men. Now, quickly, I must close. Why? Why? Let it be made known to all men. Now follow me carefully. It tells why. It says, let your moderation be made known to all men. And the next line says, the Lord is at hand. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus is coming at any minute and so you ought to behave and let your moderation be known. That's okay, but that's not what it means. It means everywhere you go, God is at your side. Everything you drink, God sees it. Every word you say, God hears it. Everything you do in a parked car, God is there. The Lord is at hand. You know what our trouble is? Our trouble is we're atheists. We don't believe God's at hand. We don't believe it. We're atheists. We don't believe there's a living God who's omnipresent and omniscient. We don't believe it. The apostle said, he said, let this be made known to you. To the church at Philippi, the old preacher writing from his prison cell. He says, Christians, let the whole world know your stand. What's wrong with letting them know you believe in haircuts? Wear them proudly. What's wrong with letting the whole world know that you dress modestly, young lady? Do it proudly. Just let everybody know right off the bat your moderation, your boundaries. Why? The Lord is at hand. I know a preacher. Didn't know him. Don't know him now. I did know him. He was being considered for a church. A big church. This is back when I was in seminary years ago. Being considered for a big church. He decided to take a week and pray. Then he would pray, and he took a cruise to pray about whether they'll take that church or not. On the cruise, he met an attractive young lady and misbehaved with her. I don't mean immorally. I mean unwisely. Misbehaved with her. What he didn't know, that young lady had a relative that was on the pulpit committee of the church. He was praying about whether to go, too. He didn't need to pray anymore. They changed her mind. When I was at Southwestern Seminary many years ago, a young man who sat in the evangelism class in the main big auditorium there
He came down to where he usually sat, and there's an older man in his seat. The young man said, "Sir, this is my seat." He said, "I'm sorry." Well, he said, "You ought to be. It's my seat." Well, he said, I didn't realize. Well, he said, "Get up. It's my seat." The guy got up. But the fellow didn't know that man was on the pulpit committee investigating this very young man. He didn't get the church. He didn't know this fellow was at hand, but he was. The Lord is at hand. One day, and I'll close with this. It's been several years since I told this. I was working at J.C. Penney Company in Marshall, Texas. I didn't have a church. Wasn't pastoring a church. I hadn't started pastoring yet. Just gotten down to East Texas and preached a few times. Well, when folks would come in to buy some stuff, I'd cut up with them an awful lot. We had a lot of black people there, and they'd walk in and say, "I want some white men's shorts." And I said, "I'm sorry, you have to wear black men's shorts." And oh, they'd laugh and laugh. One lady came in one day and she said, "These shirts, $2.49 a piece, $2.49. I said, "Yes, ma'am, but they're on sale today only, 3 for $7.47. Well, 3 times $2.49 is $7.47. I was kidding. She said, "Is that right?" Where's the telephone? She called her husband and said, "Honey, shirts for $2.49. We can get 3 today for $7.47. It's okay." "Yeah, get them while you can." One day a lady came in. She said, "I'd like to buy a belt for my husband." I said, "We have these." I said, "We have these belts here. $2.49. We have some for $1.49, some for $2.79. It's been a long time ago when you buy a shirt for $2.49. Anyway, I said, "We have belts for $1. I think $1.49 and $2.79. She said, "You have a certain size and certain color in the $2.79. I said, "I see you." I said, "Ma'am, I don't." I said, "But I do have your husband's size in $1.49. "Well," she said, "I wanted $2.79. I said, "Ma'am, we don't have a one your husband's size in $2.79. "But," she said, "I don't want a cheap belt. I want a $2.79. I said, "Ma'am, I wish I had one. We don't in your husband's size." It was late on a Saturday afternoon. She said, "I told you I wanted a $2.79 belt." And I said, "Ma'am, if you want to pay me $2.79 for a $1.49 belt, have at it, sister." Oh, she huffed away. Oh, my soul, she walked. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it's my Christ-like spirit that upset her. That's on Saturday afternoon late. Next morning, I was supplying at the Fairview Baptist Church outside Marshall, Texas. I walked on the platform. Guess who was at the piano? You guessed it. I won't tell you her name, but her husband wears a $2.79 belt. I preached to this side of the building all that morning. I didn't realize I was going to be preaching to her the next morning. Why should you let your moderation be made known to all men? Why would you go to college and say, "These are my boundaries"? Why? When you go on a new job, you say, "This is what I believe. This is what I'll stand for." Why? Because the Lord's at hand. He always sees you. You never do anything secretly. He always sees you. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, Christian, what you do. Let your moderation be made known to all men. Why? Because everywhere you are, the Lord is at hand. Father, bless the message this morning.